I think just in general, finding good instructional designers is tough. Having somebody who can document and write well, who can understand adult learning theory and can design impactful interactive learning, make it fun, make it something that you want to do as opposed to feel like a chore. And this is the toughest part, I think, is to create a really nicely branded, good-looking product.
You're listening to Learning Leader Spotlight. Interviews with corporate L&D leaders. On each episode, we sit down with key industry experts to discover more about what's happening in the world of learning and development, from current trends and insights to the most valuable lessons learned along the way. Join us for a fresh perspective on all things training and the best direction forward. Here's your host, Leanne Lankford.
Hi, welcome to Learning Leader Spotlight, the podcast where we interview the learning leaders of today to help the learning leaders of tomorrow. I'm your host, Leanne Lankford. I am with Training Pros. Training Pros is an L&D contract staffing company. We like to say at Training Pros, when you have more projects than people, let us find the right consultant to start your project with confidence. Really excited today. I have as my guest, Brian Perkins, the Director of Training at Topgolf. Welcome, Brian.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Let's get started right away. Can you share with our audience a 60-second overview of who you are and what you do?
Sure. My name is Brian Perkins. As you said, I'm the Director of Training at Topgolf. And what that means for me is that I lead the instructional design team for Topgolf's venue operations, for the sales, and for corporate training. My role in particular in the way our team is structured, I work with an implementation team. So I have a counterpart who actually does all the implementations into the field, which is a really nice place to be because I don't love implementation. I get to be super wonky and in details around just about learning and about making beautiful content. So as a result of being that specialized, Topgolf's been able to make a lot of progress toward getting to our ideal curriculum and having a completed curriculum for every single role in the organization. We're not there yet. We are on our way.
That sounds really interesting. I know I have a Topgolf card and there's a Topgolf nearby. Lots of kid events and stuff and even corporate events at Topgolf I've been to. So it's a fun venue and it must be fun to work in the company, I would imagine.
It is. When it's nice to work at a place where you sell fun. If fun is the product, everything's about fun. So we try to infuse as much fun into our learning as we possibly can. So we have gamified everything that you could possibly gamify.
That sounds great. Can you share with us what first attracted you to learning and development?
Nothing. I actually landed here out of pure necessity. I worked in operations. And there was no guidance with the place that I worked at the time. It was a new concept. And so in order to execute, I had to make my own direction. And somebody had just found a piece of collateral that I had created. Actually, it was around labor forecasting. And she just had to go around and try to figure out who had done this because she really liked it. And I sort of got discovered that way. So I blundered into it. So no fault of my own.
But you stayed.
I stayed and I loved it. I loved every minute of it. It was like finding your calling.
So you've been in learning and development a while. What are the biggest changes you've seen in the last 5 years?
Definitely around technology, AI especially. We've been finding that a lot of the tools that we use have incorporated AI. We lean heavily into QR codes in order to deliver the content seamlessly. And finding out how to use it ourselves, and then in turn, incorporating it into the way that we execute. That's really the biggest change. You know, we nearly completely gone away from paper or printed materials.
Yeah. So my printer's been out of ink for maybe a year and I haven't even bothered. So things have changed. Yeah. A lot of people do answer that AI has been one of the biggest game changers in the last 5 years for L&D. Given that, where do you think learning and development is going in the next 5 years?
That's AI too. It's going to lean really heavily into AI. I was joking just recently with my team. I was like, you better stop telling everybody about how much we use AI or we're going to all be out of a job soon. I think that using AI to accelerate our ability to create content you know, it's not going to do ever. I joke because it's never going to do it for us, right? I mean, regardless of the information that you get out of, you know, ChatGPT or whatever tool you're using, it has to be heavily edited. You have to put context to it. It's wrong sometimes, you know, it's just gathering information off the internet. It's not smart enough to know whether it's actually right or not. So, you know, you have to fact check everything. But yeah, definitely you can type in, you know, give me a 5-minute training on ladder safety and it'll spit something out that's actually useful, which is a really great place to start. So it definitely accelerates the process and gives you a little bit of a head start. I think also moving more toward micro learning, I think getting even briefer is important to meet the demands of business, but also the learning preference of the upcoming generations. They're used to bite-sized, absorbing information in bite-sized pieces. So I think the more that we can do that, the more we're speaking to them in a way that they are comfortable being spoken to. So that too.
Yes, I have two Gen Zers, not at home anymore. But yeah, they are fast. I just want just what I need. I'm out of here. They don't want to sit through a whole course. And honestly, I don't have the patience for the long 30-minute courses anymore either. So let's shift gears a minute and talk about who was your biggest professional, your best mentor, the most influential mentor you've had.
That's the person who got me into L&D in the first place. Her name is Lisa Lopisco. And at the time, she was the vice president of training at Fossil, the watch company. She was my first mentor in L&D. And what I learned from her, and she was very old school, like printed materials and workbooks and things like that. But she taught me to be more thoughtful about the way that I approach things, to think of things in the ways they could be misunderstood, as opposed to trying to get the information crammed out there. And that has always continued to guide me to this day, because my natural impulse is always to be as brief as possible. She's a P, I was a J, if that means anything to anybody, I'll let you figure that out. And so her P encouraged me to take a little bit more time with things and really think about how they could be broken and to make them, I hesitate to say this word, but idiot proof, right? You make them to their feet. If they're going to break, it's going to be really tough to break them. I really chalk it up to her, who's just a lovely, kind person and a pleasure to work for too.
Yes, idiot proof. So I call it goof proof because, if there's a way to break it, I'll
better.
Break it.
That's better.
I will break it if there's a way. And they're doing a really nice job of taking that away from me so that I break fewer things. It's easier to do everything now.
This episode is brought to you by Training Pros, the award-winning contract staffing agency that works exclusively with learning and development professionals to match the right consultants to client projects. If you're in corporate L&D and have more projects than people, let the industry practitioners at Training Pros provide you with the right L&D consultant to start your project with confidence. Find out how we make finding quality consultants easy by scheduling a consultation at www.trainingpros.com.
So, what is a skill that you think is important today for the people looking for jobs? What is the skill they all need to have, or a skill that companies are looking for now?
Well, I'm going to start really high and then I'll get into the details. I think just in general, finding good instructional designers is tough. Having somebody who can document and write well, who can understand adult learning theory and can design impactful interactive learning, make it fun, make it something that you want to do as opposed to feel like a chore. And this is the toughest part, I think, is to create a really nicely branded, good-looking product at the end of the day. The writing, I find that's trainable. You know, over the course of time, you can correct somebody and edit somebody enough that they start to catch on and he create good documentation and write good scripts. As far as the learning design itself, I find that people come with different experiences or from different directions on where they landed in L&D and their understanding of learning design. I think sometimes the people can be very academic about it and kind of come from that OD space. And I think sometimes some people come to it when they're kind of scrappy, right? Like maybe they started the way I did, which was just out of pure necessity, just started to put things together. And then over the course of time, you get more informed about, you know, theories and how to apply them to the work that you're doing. And The branding, though, and that graphic design aspect of it is really the hardest part, because people who start in graphic design don't tend to migrate so much toward instructional design, whereas people who maybe are a writer or someone who comes with the learning design are already there. So finding somebody who can make really good looking stuff, that's tough. I've worked at two companies where the brand design was just as important as the content. It had to look beautiful. Every color had to be correct. Every logo had to follow all the correct usage guidelines. Every font had to be, you know, perfect and using the right font for a title and the right font for a subtitle and the right font for the body. So I find that's really the hardest thing to teach. However, if the brand design team provides effective guidance and resources, you know, like fonts, logos, style guides, things like that, it's a lot easier to teach somebody how to play in that sandbox. Then it just becomes a matter of use this instead of this, reduce that font size, that kind of stuff. And over the course of time, they really start to get it. But yeah, I think that design, the actual design in instructional design, is the hardest part to find. But it's really critically important, because I think something really has to look good in order to attract somebody to it in the first place, right? And to keep their attention. There's just words all over a page with no images. And if you're using like sets of iconography that don't match each other, you know, then they're just random. It makes me cringe, frankly. And we have a hard and fast rule at Topgolf, and that is no clip art. We do not use clip art ever. If we do, we manipulate it so that it looks like part of a design that has been intentional and created for a project. No clip art ever. Just say no. It's ugly.
That's great. I can tell you, a visual designer is one of the requests we get pretty frequently when people are asking for an instructional designer. We ask, you know, what are all the different aspects that are most important and visual? They need to be able to make things visually appealing. And so we're always trying to collect up samples of visually appealing from each designer.
But finding somebody with those three skills is like finding a unicorn. You have to kind of make them. You can't really find them.
You know, I agree. It's definitely very hard. I used to manage instructional design at my last corporate jobs, and they were either really good at writing or they were really creative, but very rarely were they both. Very hard to find. So where do you find your industry news and information? Where do you read it?
Overall, the team has embraced this ethos of when we find something cool, we're going to share it. So we have a text chain going that's called There's No Such Thing as a Training Emergency. And on that text chain, we share our ideas. I get a lot of my ideas from Training Network Magazine, but they can come from anywhere. We really find a lot of just random stuff. And this day and age, you know, Facebook and Instagram are collecting things that they hear you say, you know? So while we're having conversations at work, I swear to God, they're listening and they'll just send me something randomly on Facebook that I find interesting, and then we'll share it. And also we send TikTok videos to each other because they're stupid.
Just for fun.
Just for fun. Work correct, just in case there's anybody from HR listening.
I know my computer and my phone, they're all listening to me, because I'll have a discussion with somebody about something, and the next thing you know, there's an ad for it popping up. Like, how does it do that? But yeah, no, I clip one block cartoon things and send those to people, because I'm like, we all need a laugh every day.
We're actually quite active on that texting.
Everybody needs a laugh every day. That's great. Okay, so this is my favorite question, because this is where I get my reading list. What is one book that you would recommend everybody read who wants to be a leader?
I would say Start With Why by Simon Sinek. And for a lot of reasons. So it's such a fundamentally important idea. As a leader, when you're trying to explain something to someone, to explain something to someone, or to get them to buy into something, to really understand that if you're intentional about explaining what the why is and really truly understanding what why means, like the actual word why, what does it mean, you know, like without getting confused with the what and the how. But I think also just in general, when you're creating content, if you can extrapolate from the book, which is really kind of primarily a business or marketing book, it's about selling and branding. But I find that what we do isn't that far off from that. Selling and branding isn't that different from informing or convincing. that you have to do when you're creating content. So I find that if we're baking why in when we go, especially if it's a change management module, you know, we tend to, when we do make a change, we have like a break off why. So we'll start with why as a first module that we can kind of snap off and use the rest of it for the ongoing training. And that's sort of our methodology. But we always want to make sure that when we're doing change management or moving from one system to another or changing a process, that we start, here's entirely why we're doing this. Everybody buys in. And then we get into how do you do it and how does it work? I'm finding that lately that's real easy. We used to, strangely, infuse the change manager through the entire module and the entire session. And then we were like, oh no, we can't use this anymore for when this thing is a thing. And the people who got hired the day after it started no longer have any idea that it used to be any different way. So we finally smartened up on that one. We make the why.
That's brilliant. The way you have the reusable objects and, you know, start with separate out the why and then the reusable objects for future training, future people joining the company. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I hate doing things twice.
Well, I think that's a fantastic book. So I've never read the book. Definitely watched the TED Talk.
Watch the video. Yeah. That's good. So they push it up in glasses like 1,000 times in that video.
Hey, you know, they just don't work fitted properly. But it's such a basic concept. And I have found if you don't start with why, they will not be going down the right path on the task you set them because they don't know why we're going this way and not this way.
It's just a great way to fundamentally provide direction to somebody. They really get it immediately and start that.
I agree. Well, you have been a great guest today. Thank you so much for coming on our podcast with us.
You're very welcome.
It's a lot of time out of your day, and I really appreciate it. I know our listeners appreciate hearing from all the different learning leaders we interview. As a thank you to you, I want to plant 5 trees in your name in our Monarch Restoration Project.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you. That is terrific. What a lovely thing.
You're so welcome. That's our charity here at Training Pros. We've planted 4,000 trees to date. And we partner with One Tree Planted to plant trees around the world. Right now, we're planting trees to help encourage the monarch butterfly migration trail. And so these will be trees down in Mexico that help the monarchs continue to reproduce and migrate.
Oh, that's great. I'm delighted. Thank you. That's amazing.
Well, that does it for this episode of Learning Leader Spotlight. We hope everybody joins us again next week to hear from the next learning leader. And again, thank you, Brian. And I hope everyone has a great day.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us for the latest episode of Learning Leader Spotlight, interviews with corporate L&D leaders. You'll find links in the show notes to any resources mentioned on today's show. If you're enjoying our podcast, please subscribe so you never miss an episode and leave us a 5-star review.